The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting. As we prepare for the service around the table, I'd like to just read a portion of 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Then I plan to just have a moment of quiet with you all, and then I will share some from the Word that I prepared for this evening. 1 Corinthians 15, God's Word says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Let's just spend a couple of moments in quiet reflection as we approach the table in just a few minutes from now, and then I'll share the Word. I want to share with you this evening just a number of passages of Scripture that, as I mentioned this morning, I had collected together some time ago, and I'm not sure that I've ever gone over these in one quick sitting like this before, but I was looking at a number of passages. The first one in Galatians chapter 2, if you want to turn there, which talk about things which we have together with others, and mainly together with Jesus Christ. And so maybe you've wondered about these passages or run into them and thought to yourself, that's an interesting thought. Maybe we'll touch on that again this evening and encourage you in that way to ponder these truths. In Greek, there are a number of verbs that begin with the prefix S-U-N, soon, which is translated most simply as with or together with. And so we see some of these in these examples that I'll share with you. The first is in Galatians 2:20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And as a result," Paul says, "it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." There's a sense in which Paul acknowledges he has died. "And the life which I now live," although he's alive, "in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." So he was not literally crucified. He was not physically killed. But he was spiritually changed. He was identified with Jesus Christ in his death. The old I was done away with. Okay, you following me? I'm looking at my sons, too, to make sure they're paying good and close attention here. Young people, all of you together as well. Not literally crucified, not physically killed. Spiritually changed, identified with Christ in his death. The old I is done. and gone away. What does that mean? The old man is crucified. Romans 6:6. That is, who I was, I'm really defining what the old man is here, who I was in Adam, in sin, and subject to death. That was the old me. I was a person in Adam. I was subject to death, and I was under slavery to sin. In Christ, I have become something entirely different than that. Although I was not physically killed or literally crucified, my old self has been done away, and I have become a new creature, a new person. And so that's number one. I have been crucified with Christ. Number two is in Colossians 2:20. Interestingly, just this couple books over, same address. Colossians 2:20. And here it says, therefore, if you died with Christ, remember, before you were crucified, Paul was crucified with Christ. Here we have died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. He asks a natural question. Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to these carnal regulations listed in verse 21? 22 and 23 shows how they don't have any value to bring the flesh, the sinful nature under control. So the same idea is found here, that we have died with Christ. So what does that mean? That means before we got saved, we were one thing. After we got saved, after we became Christians, we were something entirely new and different. So the old things that we had in our life have been put away, and we have become something entirely new. That is what happens to one who is in Christ. Now, we go on then to another portion in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Romans 6, this is the third of these with Christ or with Him words. In Romans 6, 4, it says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, there's really a kind of a defining statement to what we're talking about in verse 4, being baptized or buried through baptism into death, then certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that one we just looked at a moment ago. So therefore we were buried with Him, crucified with Him, died with Him, buried with Him. We're identified with Him by baptism. Now, I take this to be spirit baptism. I know many interpreters take it to be water baptism. But I understand that all believers have this on their resume, so to speak. Not that they put it there. God put it there. Even if they do not get water baptized. Now, we've seen in both Christ's death and in His burial, we have been connected to Him. We have been united together with Him. Now, this may seem to be very abstract. If you pause and think about it for a while, you may say, this is kind of outside of the realm of normal, everyday stuff. What does it mean to be united with somebody in their death? Connected to them somehow? Identified with Him somehow. That's how we understand it, that we have been connected, identified, united with Christ in these things, so that we share somehow in the benefits and the meaning of them. Maybe that idea will dawn on you more as we go through these and as you think about it afterwards. Ephesians 2:5 is our fourth on the list. Ephesians 2:5. Even the Bible says there, when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. Made us alive together with Christ. And then parenthetically, but I'm not sure that, in, at least in my translation, I don't think it should be really parenthetical. By grace you have been saved. More exclamatory. What a grace this is, that when we were dead, He made us alive together. This is kind of the odd thing about this aspect of Christian theology, that we were alive in Adam and in sin and subject to death, but we were really dead at the same time, in another sense. We were alive in the physical sense, but we were dead in the spiritual sense. And so we died in the spiritual sense to the old, and we became alive in the spiritual way to the new. When we became a new person, we're identified with Christ in His death and in His burial. And now it says that we are brought to new life. So that's the opposing truth to verse 1 of chapter 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. I take it that this refers, this idea of being made alive together with Christ refers to regeneration, which is the spiritual enlivening that occurs when a believer believes. At the moment of salvation, somebody is imparted spiritual life and comes out of the grave, as it were, of spiritual death. So this is not resurrection per se, but this is new life in Christ when we get saved. We are made alive together with Him. Regeneration. And that's a great gift that God has given to us. I didn't really emphasize this in my thoughts or notes, but just think about all these as gifts from God. That would be another way to think about all these, that we've been crucified with Him. We have died with Him. We've been buried with Him. We have been raised to a spiritual life with Him. We are connected to God and Christ that way. But here's another one, just down one verse. Ephesians 2:6, and there are a couple of them here. Verse 6 says, "And raised us up together." And raised us up together. This refers to our connection to Christ's bodily resurrection, although this reality is something that is present now in us, and we will yet experience bodily resurrection, which will be a great blessing. Or perhaps, if the rapture of the church comes, we will be transformed into our heavenly bodies right away, without having to die first. Won't that be a blessing? I'm hoping for that. Great blessed hope of the church. So we have Ephesians 2:6, and I want you to notice, by the way, that these ideas of being raised together with Christ, of being buried with Him, of dying or being crucified with Him, are mirrored in the passage that we read to begin the service. "I delivered to you, first of all," Paul said, "that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And now all of these verses that we're looking at are teaching us that He died, we died with Him. He was buried, we were buried with Him. He raised again from the dead, we've been raised with Him. Think about that. And all the key, core, important, you know, very basic elements of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you, believer, have died and have been buried and have risen again as well. Interesting thought, I think, when we see that in the connection with Christ's historical work, that He's done something in us that is amazing like that. Back to Ephesians 2:6 again, after it says that He raised us up together, it adds, "and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I should maybe just contrast this with, how would you like to be crucified alone, buried alone, raised alone, sitting in heavenly places by yourself? That's not what these texts say. These texts say that you've been together with Him. Together with Him, and therefore together with all other believers that are together with Him. You are together with Him in all of these things. No, you're not literally sitting in heaven, as much as you might like this church or your life or whatever. You're not in heaven yet. You haven't physically moved away from the earth, but with the exaltation that Christ is exalted, we are also lifted up. You know that when Christ ascended into heaven, that was a great and regal entrance into that heavenly realm, and He was exalted with the glory that He had before the world was, John 17, before He left the palaces of heaven to come down to earth. He went back to that exalted glory there, and with Him we are also lifted up. We are citizens of that otherworldly realm. We are not merely citizens of this or that country in the world, ruled by the meanest of men. Our King is Jesus. And although we await the disclosure of His kingdom on the earth, we rejoice that we are exalted with Him now and able to say we are in heavenly places, sitting with Him, identified with Him in His glory, even now. As much as the world might not understand that, oh well, we do. We have a sense of what it means, and we rejoice in that glory. Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. It says here in 16, if the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. If we're children, then heirs. What Christ receives as His inheritance, He shares with us. That's amazing. Now, perhaps the sad or negative part of this verse is that if indeed we suffer with Him, we may be raised together with Him, we may be joint heirs with Him, but some of us have to suffer with Him as well. But then that results in something else, and that's also in Romans 8:17. It says that we may also be glorified together. Glorified together. And it means glorified together with Him. It means co-glorified. Like co-crucified means that we're crucified with Him and co-buried and co-raised. That's how we could maybe translate that soon prefix, that S-U-N prefix to some of these verbs. Co-crucified, co-buried. Buried, co-raised, co-heirs, co-glorified together with Him. Chief among these gifts is that we will be made free of sin and have a new body, present with the Lord, sharing in His ruling glory in heaven. So those are really the ones that I was able to pick out that deal with our relationship with the Lord. There are two others that I'll just briefly mention to you that encourage us in our relationship with one another. Philippians 1:27 says this, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." This is co-striving for the faith, to make sure that the faith is proclaimed and known among the world. This is an agonizing, full of effort kind of thing that Paul is talking about here. Yeah, there are a lot of churches where I suppose you could say there's a lot of striving. Not this kind of striving. Oh, my friends, may our striving together be for the faith of the gospel and not striving in strife one against another, as the Word of God indicates. And then finally, Romans 15, verse number 30. Romans 15 and verse number 30. The text of Scripture here says, this is more of a personal request of Paul, but I would apply it more broadly. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. See that? Strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Pray for God's servants. Pray for their ministry as they minister the gospel. We could apply this to what I said this morning about the need to pray for those that are in jail for the gospel. Our prayers may be that key which springs them out of the cell. We pray for God to open the door, to open the hearts of the captors, to open the red tape of bureaucracy, to move these people out of their imprisonment. And we pray with the ministers of the gospel that they will have ability and boldness, but also open doors to preach Christ in various places. Pray with me for opportunities in Howell. Pray with me for opportunities on the university campus. Strive together in your prayers to God for our purity as a church, for our work in the gospel of God's grace, and probably many other things as well. So the table that's before us represents all that we have discussed. From dying with Christ to being buried and raised and elevated to heavenly places, amazing truth that we have a share in along with our brothers and sisters. And so we could say we're co-heirs. We together have been baptized with Him into death, buried with Him, crucified, all of us that are born again believers together. How much we share in common in Christ Jesus, far outweighing the lack of or the uncommon parts of our existence, of our personalities and other things of that nature. We have a great common share in the faith and with Christ Jesus. So remember those, with Christ, together with Christ tonight. And as we come to the table, we rejoice in that truth. Let me pray, and then I'll ask the deacons to come forward and help us to serve the elements tonight. Lord, already we've come to this time in the service when we pause to remember the Lord in His appointed way with the bread and the cup. Lord, I pray just now for those brothers and sisters who are not here. Some cannot, others chose not. Some have been hindered by something or another. And Lord, we pray that we'd be able to refresh our fellowship with them around this table soon. Tonight, those that are here, Lord, share a place at the table who are in Christ. And I pray that each one who is in Him will appreciate being crucified with Him, buried with Him, raised with Him, given new life in Him, sitting together with Him in the heavenly places, striving together for the faith of the gospel, striving in prayers for God's servants, and all the rest that we looked at, being heirs together of all the blessings that You have promised to those that are in Christ. Wash us, I pray. We come to You and confess our sins and know that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And this that we partake in tonight is emblematic of that great cause of our cleansing. And may, Lord, we recognize that and take it seriously tonight. Help us to remember Him and proclaim His death until He returns. In Jesus' name, amen.